acceleration.
Hello, everyone. Coming to you live from Earliesville, Virginia, Panorama Farms Cross Country Course. Start line of the 2023 NCAA Championships. It's about 10 meters in front of me. This is Jonathan Gault, joined by Weldon Johnson back in Connecticut, the Let'sRun.com studios. We're here to break down the 2023 NCAA Cross Country Championships, which happened Saturday morning. So this is going to be a quick one, hopefully a true Friday 15, because there's not a lot of turnaround between this coming out and the meet. Been here since yesterday. I ran the course. Then we had the press conference this afternoon. Vin Lenana was there. Maury Hennis, Dave Smith, Kai Robinson, Grant Blanks, Parker Valby, Caitlin Toohey. They all did a lot of talking. Well, didn't say all that much, but what they did say, we're going to try to condense it down into this special episode. So, well, then what do you want to know? I'm so excited. This is always one of my favorite weekends of the year. What do you want to know about what went on today?
Well, first of all, people want a real breakdown of the meet. They need to listen to our Tuesday podcast, Let'sRun.com Track Talk podcast. This could be a true Friday 15. We have a second podcast for subscribers only, so if you're seeing this on YouTube, John just said we're going live. I'm like, we didn't promote it anywhere, but now we're live. You got to be a Supporters Club member to get this. But the big news coming out, John, let's just get that out first, and then I'll ask you some other questions. North Carolina State's Kelsey Camille, the third placer at last year's meet. I mean, the top three were all back from last year, which is crazy. She's out.
Yeah. And that means the NAU women who were already favored to win become an even heavier favorite, because I was looking at this thing. Kelsey Camille was one of the women I kind of assumed, oh, she didn't run the regional meet. I assume it's because she was being rested, but I didn't actually get an answer from Laurie Hennis to confirm that after the meet. And then I talked to her today and she's like, yeah, that was the first thing she said. We've been trying to get her to run. Lower leg issue. There's a lot of swelling. They've had two or three doctors look at her. There's just no way she can do it. So she's here on crutches. And the big problem for NC State is that, you know, they were already facing some question marks with Amaris Tanisma, who missed a lot of July and August of training due to injury, hasn't finished her last two races, her only two races of the fall, but she's a two-time top 10 finisher at this meet. So they were already kind of hoping she's back to full strength, and Laurie Hennis said her training's been going very well, Tanisma, and that she should be ready to go. But now they're going from a woman who they were projecting to score in the low single digits to then adding another 40, 50 points, maybe best case scenario on this score at the back end. And that just means it's going to be very, very tough for them to win. So now it might not be even, and NC State might even be second. It might be BYU. It could be Florida or something like that. I do think NAU is now, they have to be the heavy, heavy favorites, because this is just a huge blow for NC State and for Kelsey Camille in what would have been a final cross-country race in college.
Yeah, she could have been a rare five-time All-American. We got an email talking about that, like with the COVID year. We have a chance for history. So, I mean, that really sucks for her personally. Sucks for the NC State team. It's kind of crazy, right? Because I'm looking here. There's still time to enter the Let'sRun.com Nationals Prediction Contest, powered by Zappos. Give us your top 10 teams, top 10 individuals. You win some great prizes. And I'm looking at the results here. NAU was already the strong favorite. They have like 312 first place votes. NC State was getting about a third of that. I mean, there's a huge drop-off. Like, the next place team is five votes, BYU. So, barring travesty, essentially everyone in Let's Run's like giving the team title to NAU. It's sort of crazy, right? The Mike Smith men have won six of the last seven titles, and now their women's team is way more the heavy favorite to take down the NCAA National Championships. I mean, it's a testament to what Mike Smith's done in building a women's team. But that's just sort of crazy to think. Also, you know, with NC State, with all the firepower, all the names, Caitlin Toohey, most likely her final collegiate race, and now it really looks like the NCAA, you know, team title is gone.
And, well, I will say, sometimes we get to these meets and we say, okay, on paper, there's no way this team should lose, and then somehow they lose, you know? Someone will come out of the woodwork. Now, it does go the other way sometimes, like, New Mexico in 2015, I remember, wow, this is a dream team. No one's ever going to beat them. They're incredible. They went out and scored 49 and just destroyed everyone. I mean, that could happen with NAU tomorrow. They score like the 50s or 60s, and it's like, wow, they were clearly the best. But, you know, BYU always runs well at this meet. It's really hard to see NAU losing, but they could. That's why they run the race. So that's interesting to see. The other thing I wanted to ask about at this press conference was attendance, because the meet is sold out. You cannot buy a ticket. It was $20 a pop. And they're saying that they've sold over 5,000 tickets, and that's it. They're not releasing any more. So how does that happen? I've been to this meet. I've been going since 2014. I've never seen the meet sell out. So how do we reach that point? Vin Lenardo essentially said, the UVA coach, last summer when they were starting to plan this thing, they said, okay, what's the most people we can accommodate for national championships? And him and the other people planning the meet said, we think this course can probably hold about 6,500, 7,000 people. That's how much we have. He didn't really elaborate on why, but that's the number they reached. So that means a little over 5,000 fans. And then you've got all the athletes, coach, media, support staff from the teams. That'll bring you to around 6,500, 7,000 people on Saturday. They're using 50 shuttle buses to get the fans here. So I don't know if they ran out of room in the parking lot, or if this is a fairly condensed course compared to some of the others. You know, people are going to be staying near the start line because that lets you see the athletes a lot. The men run four loops of this thing. So yeah, I don't know specifically what about this course means they can't handle more than that, but that was their explanation. And he said, I think this is a great thing. The meet's sold out. I mean, that to me, it is good there is demand for it. They're saying they're expecting more fans than they've had in any of the recent editions. You know, I think Wisconsin had maybe 4,000 or something, and they claim there was maybe, the numbers released by the Coaches Association was 4,000. I think Wisconsin internal numbers were maybe even higher than that. But I do hope there's a lot of people here. It'll make for a good atmosphere. It's just kind of wild that people had to buy tickets ahead of time and they ran out, you know?
Yeah, well, as we noted, it hasn't been in the East Coast since, when was it?
Well, it was in Tallahassee 2 years ago, but it hasn't been in this area, sort of the Northeast or Mid-Atlantic, since probably the 90s. Definitely the 90s. Maybe, you know, it was in Penn State, Lehigh, somewhere around there, but it hasn't been up here for quite some time.
I mean, just the population base that's within like 4 hours of Charlottesville, probably a lot of people. I mean, and it's a place people want to go. A good friend of mine went to UVA. He talks about going to Charlottesville. I've been there once in my life doing college visits. But what's the vibe like there, John? What's the course like? What's, you know, boots on the ground?
Yeah.
Any course, insight from coaches, that sort of stuff?
Course is good. I ran it yesterday, and it's not like Oklahoma State, which is like a carpet. The footing is uneven in parts. It's not like world cross country uneven, but it's for an NCAA meet, it's probably the most uneven footing I've seen, other than like the mud years in Terre Haute. So, but it's not like, I don't think it's like injury level bad, but it's just a little different, which I think is fine. And some of the parts of the course are kind of on slants. So I'm running it and I'm like, we always talk about running the tangents, but sometimes there's going to be parts of the course where if you're running the shortest line, you're also going to be running either on a slant or the footing's not going to be as good as if you're running a little bit on the outside. So I thought that was interesting. I asked all the coaches, like, how do you coach your athletes to run it? You know, all of you guys, it was Mike Smith, Laurie Hennis, Dave Smith at the press conference. All of you have athletes who should be at the very front. Like, how do you tell them to take that line? We're like, Dave's like, I'm not even going to talk to them about it. Like, they get so caught up in it. There's a huge pack. He's like, I'm just telling my guys to follow NAU. So I don't think the athletes are really worrying about it that much. The coaches don't seem to be worrying about it. But it is something I thought of because, you know, you're going to notice, especially in the women's race with Parker Valby up front, there are going to be points where it's like, okay, do I hang a little low and run on even ground, short footing? Or do I try to really cut the tangent, which she famously didn't do at Oklahoma State last year? But it's a good course. It's a fair course. There's a nice hill with about 200, 300 meters to go right before the finish. That's going to be maybe where a decisive move could be made. And there's a big dip that the runners will run at the very start, probably about 1,200 meters in, and then again on the final loop, both the men and women, where it's a steep downhill, steep uphill. They're going to have some cameras there. That should be pretty fun to watch for. The other thing to note is air quality here, not good. I got out of the car yesterday, I ran around, I'm like, kind of smells like smoke. Like, what's going on here? And I look at my phone, there's an air quality alert. It's like unhealthy for sensitive groups. There's a fire burning that's spread across central Virginia. And you could definitely notice it yesterday more than today. And I'm hoping it'll be even better tomorrow, but not ideal for having a cross-country meet where you've got smoke from wildfire.
Well, that's not something I thought we'd have to factor into the equation. But, I mean, the course overall, much easier than the Oklahoma State course, correct? Big picture?
Definitely easier, yes.
Because I think
But not year, easy. Not easy, but easier right, than not, last year.
How would you compare it to Terre Haute? More people may be familiar with that because NCAAs were there so often.
Yeah, it's... Terre Haute has a lot of gradual climbing and descending, and this one, it's the hills aren't quite as long, but there's definitely up and down. I would say, if I compared it to Terre Haute, I'd say it's a little slower, especially if Terre Haute, if the grass is cut short. This one, the grass isn't that short, so I'd say it's a little tougher than Terre Haute, but not significantly.
Because I think if we're, everyone's expecting on the women's side this Parker Valby, Caitlin Tooley rematch. Valby went out from the gun last year, got run down. And I think the tougher the course, the better the chance for Tooley to do that again this year. I mean, there is a chance Valby's just at another level and Tooley can't keep up no matter what the course. But I think 5K on the track right now, I favor Valby for sure. Like the easier the course, the more I want to pick Valby.
Well, here's something that Lori Hennis told me today. She said, Caitlin Tooley, this is the best shape I've ever seen her in. And I was like, okay. Because this was a woman who was crushing everyone indoors, set collegiate records in the 3K and the mile, who won NCAA cross last year over Parker Valby. Now, I think it's pretty clear Parker Valby's fitter than she was last year too. But they said going into the season, the plan was only for Caitlin Tooley to run ACCs and nationals. But she got the itch to run Wisconsin. She's like, I couldn't just do that and have my teammates sitting out. And then she needed to run regionals because Kelsey Camille wasn't going to. They wanted to shore up their spot. So she stepped up for them there. But I do wonder, okay, she ran Wisconsin, but if that wasn't part of the plan, maybe she wasn't where she needed to be fitness-wise, and she kind of knew, all right, I'm going to be better. Certainly seems like she's timed her peak pretty well. So that's going to be fascinating if she's in the best shape she's ever been in, because I think Parker Valby is also in the best shape she's ever been in.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, those are big words. If Caitlin Tooley's in the best shape of her life, and that comes back to the theory we had all along, or we weren't promoting this theory much, but we had someone email us, text us, say essentially like, look, Caitlin Tooley's putting in the training now. You can ignore this result at Nanticombe. Wait to nationals. And I mean, there is rationale behind that. It sounds like that may be the case. We have a true barn burner. What did Caitlin and Parker say themselves? I know these press conferences, they're all up there at once. You can't usually glean a lot of insight, but did they say anything of note?
Not really. That was the one thing I was kind of curious about with Caitlin is, how she was playing it, and she revealed, the initial plan was just to run two races this fall, and they ended up doing four. But, I didn't really learn too much from them. And from the men, Kai Robinson kind of said something similar to Tooley. He was like, look, last year, he won Nanticombe, but then by the end of the season, he was like, I just felt tired, and he didn't run that well for him at Nationals. I think he was 10th or 14th or something like that. And then he dominates everyone in the track on the 5K and 10K in June. This year, he was in an interesting position because he was still waiting to find out if he was going to run at the World Championships, if he had qualified or not. And so he was staying in shape until the very start of August, not knowing whether he was going to get called up to run Worlds. He ends up missing out. I think he said he missed out on Worlds by one spot. So he kind of takes a little time off, but then they're like, all right, I'm just going to ramp into things and I'm going to run. He gets back up to 95 miles a week and he stays there basically almost the entire season, whereas last year he had come down a little bit more. So he's basically trying to do what Charles Hicks did last year, which is he was training through some of these meets where he got suffered defeats. And I think Kai Robinson's the same. He got beat at Nuttycombe. He got beat at the Virginia Invitational. But I don't think he was concerned about that because he's like, well, I've been running 95 miles a week pretty much all season. And now he said, I definitely feel fresher and better than I did at the end of the last season. I don't feel like I was, you know, he doesn't feel worn down. So that makes me think, I'm like, wait a minute. Going in, I picked Haptim Samuel, but I'm like, is maybe Kai Robinson's now the guy to beat because he's going to be significantly better, I think, than he was at Nuttycombe a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy if he won Nuttycombe a year ago. Because, you know, NCAA track was like somewhat of a surprise what he did, but it's really easy to forget. You bomb at Nationals 1 year, people sort of forget about you as a cross-country runner. And, well, looking at the prediction contest, powered by Zappos results, Parker Valby is the slight favorite. She's got 228 first-place votes, Kate Wintouille 185. What about the men, John? Other than the men, because, oh, I'll break it down. Nico Young is getting the most overall points, but he's only fourth in terms of first-place votes. Well, in the overall rankings, Nico Young, number one, Graham Blanks, number two, Kai Robinson, number three, Haptim Samuel of New Mexico, number four. But in terms of first-place votes, it's Graham Blanks, number one, 113, Kai Robinson, 208, then Haptim Samuel, 88 votes, and then Nico Young at 72. So everyone essentially is saying what we all know. Nico Young will run well at Nationals. He's not going to bomb, but a lot of people don't have confidence he will win. They're thinking, okay, Graham Blanks has been bringing it, and, you know, last year on the track, Kai Robinson did so well. And then Haptim Samuels, this, like, junior phenom medalist. And also, Dennis Kepengiddich is down in sixth place, getting the next most of, amount of first-place votes. So what did the other guys say?
Yeah, I mean, Blanks was just kind of like, you know, I kind of got lucky when I won Wisconsin. I think he was just downplaying that. I'm like, dude, you didn't get lucky. Like, you ran a great race. He's like, yeah, but, you know, it was, everyone was in it until about 600 to go. Then he took off. But to me, he ran fantastic. And he's just like, you know, there's nothing really special. Nothing has changed since last year. He's just continued to progress. So, yeah, he's a pretty self-deprecating guy. But I don't know. There's downplaying the Wisconsin thing, and then there's, like, you know, totally ignoring it. I don't think we can ignore the fact that he beat the best guys in the country. He beat Haptim Samuel, he beat Kai Robinson, he beat Nico Young, and did so pretty convincingly once he made that move. So, yeah, he's not the clear runaway favorite, but I do put some stock in that performance. So that was what he had to say. Nico Young, what did he say? Nothing too profound. He basically was just like, yeah, I know I've run well at this meet before, and I know how to prepare for it. This is his fourth time at NCAAs. He was fourth as a true freshman, second last year. So nothing too earth-shattering from the men, but I did find what Kai Robinson's comments about, you know, not being certain about whether he's going to run Worlds this summer and then, you know, really making sure he's peaking prep. Obviously, all of these athletes try to peak for this meet, but he certainly seems like he's got the timing right. Better, and we saw what happened when he got the timing right at NCAA Outdoors last year. He was a lot better than everyone else.
All right, John, how's my audio? We do have comments. No promotion anywhere. This is just on YouTube. Thomas Lester's on here on YouTube saying, raise my audio. The audio will be perfect post-production. If you want this as a podcast, join today at letsrun.com/subscribe. But is it a little louder now, John? I tried to adjust it.
Yeah, well, the wind picked up for a second, and then we had a gator cut by. So, hopefully it shouldn't be too bad. Well, I don't think we're going to be talking that much longer. I mean, anything else you wanted to know about NCAA Cross, Walden?
Well, John, we did it. We said we'd have a true Friday 15, and we're already 19 minutes in. So
there we go. Post-race show tomorrow. We need to tease that. We have a limited Friday 15. You guys might think, wait a minute, you guys normally do an hour. We're getting shortchanged, even though it's called the Friday 15. Well, that's because after the meet tomorrow, I will be going live with Robert to break down the meet. We'll give all our hot takes and analysis. I still am not sure if Robert's going to be at the meet or not, but I'll be here and he'll be somewhere talking about it. So you are going to get an extra podcast for our Supporters Club members. And maybe if you're not in the Supporters Club, I mean, you should join letsrun.com/subscribe. But if you're not in there, you might be able to watch it live as well. So yes, third podcast of the week tomorrow after the meet.
Yes, it'd be great. And you want it as a podcast, you got to be a Supporters Club member. Putting up a comment here. Kennedy Kipkugai says Valby will scorch them. This is the same Kennedy Kipkugai that ran at New Mexico? Anyway.
Not familiar with that person, but thank you for
watching. I was Googling the name because it's very, you know, Kenyan name, and I was like, oh, I bet you this guy runs.
Yeah.
John, the real question is, how would Addy Wiley do in this race? That's what we got a comment here about. Forget about discussing the real race that's going to happen tomorrow. It's always about the hypothetical matchups.
I mean, do damn well. I mean, she's more of an 8:15 runner, but how would a 3:59 woman do it NCAA cross country? I think she'd do pretty well, Weldon.
Yeah. I don't think she'd be the favorite, but we'll have to wait to hear that. All right, John, I hope you got in Charlottesville last night. I hope you're enjoying it. Sounds like a wonderful town.
The campus is amazing, Weldon. I was walking around. It's truly beautiful. Like, it's got a really nice quad, some really nice architecture. My sister went to William & Mary, and I was like, Sarah, this is like kind of like William & Mary's campus. She's like, well, William & Mary's is more beautiful, right? And I was like, they're both pretty nice. So, yeah, it's a really nice campus, cool college town. We're got some nice restaurant options for this evening. And I went to Cookout for the first time ever. I felt like this isn't the true South. It's Virginia. But they don't have cookouts where I'm from in Massachusetts. So that was a nice stop yesterday for lunch.
John, I grew up in the South. Well, Texas, we don't consider ourselves really South. Maybe we're Southern, but Cookout, is that a restaurant chain? I pretty much know I feel like I know every restaurant in the world.
Yeah, it's like a fast food chain. They do barbecue, hamburgers, milkshakes, that sort of thing. It's very popular in like North Carolina, the South, not Texas. But yeah. They don't have an array around Massachusetts.
Wow. This is like groundbreaking to me. Started in 89, North Carolina, Alabama. Wow. I apologize. I felt like I knew every sort of fast casual, fast food thing in the South, everywhere. Shows, you will learn something every time you listen to letsrun.com Friday 15.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's a tradition I have to uphold because whenever I'm going to meet with Robert, like whenever I go to NCAA Cross with Robert, we always either go to like Sonic or McDonald's or something for lunch. That's always our stop is a fast food restaurant. So like I have to uphold this tradition, and Cookout was a good, I approve. I enjoyed Cookout. I had some hush puppies. Oh, it was great. So I have to get some food now. I haven't had lunch yet. I'm going to seek that out and be back tomorrow to report from the course, but so excited. So excited to be here. This is always one of my favorite meets to go to, and it's going to be another great one tomorrow.
Yep. Should be a good one. Sorry, Rose Runner. There's no betting odds in the NCAA Cross Country Championships, but that's what we need. We need to, if we can sell out an NCAA championship soon, we can get betting odds. Or maybe we can tweet at Bovada, right, John? We used to tweet at Bovada. They'd put up odds. Hey, Bovada, what about odds on this? And they would do it. So.
All right. Signing off from the course in Charlottesville.
Thank you, John.